This evening, I have the opportunity to preach from one of my favorite sections of Scripture, Psalm 110. Please join me there. Psalm 110. This is our new Psalm of the month. I'll be preaching on this Sabbath and next Sabbath evening. We remember that it's described to us that all the prophets were being carried along or moved along by the Holy Spirit. We come and we have the opportunity to hear the Spirit of Christ as it is enunciated and described and explained by King David. King David is that exciting figure in Scripture, but he's also that one that we're able to look at and say, 'tis true, all men sin and fall short of the glory of God. We can look at David's vast crimes, even to the point of adultery and murder, and still he's called a man after God's own heart. I offer that to you for comfort. As you and I, as the Holy Spirit works in our lives, as we hear the word proclaimed in our lives, as we are convicted of the sins in our lives, we can look and we can see and we can have hope that though we are a people who sin and fall short of the glory of God, every single day in our minds, in our hearts, it's this expression of corruption that is in our hearts, that when God also moves in us and gives us faith to trust in Christ, when we are blessed with a repentance from our heart, we can still glory. We can still rejoice. We can still have comfort. We can still know that we are received in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, David, in this place, David, as he was in the Spirit, we have this, I consider it a shocking reality that as he was sit and he was moved along by the Holy Spirit and he could listen to the Spirit, he actually hears a conversation taking place between the Father and the Son. And was even given the discernment to recognize this is the Father speaking, this is the Son speaking, back and forth to one another. So you and I, we get to enter into the chamber of the prophet. Through being in the chamber of the prophet, we are brought into the very presence of God, and that is where you and I are this evening, where we are gathered together in the name of Christ with the understanding of the grace that we've been shown. Christ meets with us now. You and I are at the threshold of heaven with Christ with us. Hear the voice of God the Father and God the Son is carried along and delivered to us by the Holy Spirit. The Lord, that is Jehovah or Yahweh, says to my Lord, as David describes it, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord will stretch forth your strong scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will volunteer freely in the day of your power. In holy array, from the womb of the dawn, your youth are to you as the dew. The Lord has sworn, and he will not change his mind. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings in the day of his wrath. He will judge among the nations. He will fill them with corpses. He will shatter the chief men over a broad country. He will drink from the brook by the wayside. Therefore, he will lift up his head. You and I are brought to this place to hear the voice of God the Father. And what effect does it have on us to hear the voice of God the Father? What effect does it have on us to hear the arrangement between God the Father and Jesus Christ, the one who was made King of heaven and earth? This Jesus Christ, who is your King, who is your God, who is your prophet, who is your peace, who is your joy, the one to whom you have been given, the one whom you have been given faith in, to know the Lord Jesus Christ. To where does this move you? What is our response as we understand Christ, prophet, priest, and king, who is given this great scepter? Well, we look and we understand the nature of all heaven and earth as we look and we see the Father speaking to the Son. In the beginning, in the garden, when there was the fall, There was this division made between mankind and God the Father. It is described at that point that there will be an enmity, a friction, a battle taking place. We look at this world and we see the friction and we see the battle that is taking place. We look in our own church and we would see the friction and the battle that is taking place. We look in our own hearts. And do you know the friction and the battle that is taking place? Well, God the Father, he stands and he gives this narration of the world and he speaks and he brings the authority into place to answer the friction and the battle that is in the world and in your own heart. And he establishes the answer through his covenant, his arrangement of peace between mankind, that is, and the church, all those who will trust in Christ and himself. The enmity, the battle, the friction between the God the Father and you is answered through Christ Jesus, through this covenant of peace. So the call for you tonight is to cling to Jehovah's covenant. That is, the covenant, the arrangement, the relationship as set up by God the Father. Our first step is pay close attention to the Lord's arrangement. We look in verse 1 at the very beginning. The Lord, or the Jehovah, the Yahweh, the living God, he speaks. He says to my Lord, he says to the one who is my King. When God speaks, we understand that there is a full authority being demonstrated. That reality is being unveiled for us. That there is a certainty in what he says. How certain are you of what you are able to say? If someone asks you, will you come over to my house on Friday? We might have to shrug and say, maybe. I'll try. I would like to if my car starts, if I don't sleep in, if not this, if not that, if this, this, if this, if this. But when God speaks, there is a certainty in what he says. Isaiah 46:10, he says, I am declaring the end from the beginning. From ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. You and I are moved to this perfect place to be able to trust in what God is saying. If he says it, it is certain. You and I do not have to doubt his purpose. We do not have to doubt his word. We do not have to doubt his perspective. He knows the end from the beginning. And he says, I will accomplish all my good pleasure. And we see the living God has spoken to Christ, telling him what will be. We see what will be, what is certain. He says, sit at my right hand. That is, sit at my seat of power, sit at this place of all authority. And he speaks to Christ Jesus, who was able to say after the resurrection, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. This is the reality of the world, whether or not mankind or the United States of America or Eastvale or you accept it. You don't vote for king. Christ Jesus has been set in this position by God the Father. All authority on heaven and earth has been given to Christ. That includes the authority over your heart and your soul and your life. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord, will stretch forth your strong scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies. This places us at our second step, which is pay close attention to the Son's position. What is the position of the Son? David here, with full revelation by the Holy Spirit, calls Jesus Christ my Lord, my Master, my King. Has the Holy Spirit worked in your heart in this way? Has he moved in you to reveal the reality of Jesus Christ actually being your Lord, your King, your ruler, your Master? Verse 2, the Lord will stretch forth your strong scepter from Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. Is that the case for you? Are you Christ's enemy? Have you been Christ's enemy? Romans 5:8 speaks to us. It says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:10 says, while we were the enemies of God, Christ showed his love for us and that he died for us. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Think of Psalm 23. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You and I have been brought from that place where we were his enemies. And now we know him as King. Think of those beautiful words of Thomas as he was expounding upon how he would not believe unless he was able to stick his fingers through Jesus' hand and put his hand into his side. And Jesus shows up and says, hey. And Thomas looks and he says, my Lord and my God. He responds in that moment knowing who Christ is. And Jesus asks, do you believe because you've seen? And then he makes this announcement about you. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Are you in that wonderful place? That blessed place where you haven't seen and yet you believe? Doesn't that mean that you're his? You are one of his people? That he has worked a life in you? He has given you a new heart. He has revived you, transitioning you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his beloved Son. That he has made you alive and he has made you his. This brings us to our third step, to give Jesus your heart. Verse 3 then says, your people, and this is the Father speaking to the Son, your people will volunteer freely in the day of your power. What is this free volunteering that is taking place? We have the beautiful place of understanding we are his people. If you have, maybe you have a family where that is significant. I grew up in a very tightly knit family. I had this great grandmother that we called Mama. And every season, every Thanksgiving, we would all come together and we would have this meal in her basement. There would be 53 of her descendants that gathered together in her basement. It was such a beautiful and lovely time. One of my little cousins was once asked, where would you like to go for dinner sometime that wasn't Thanksgiving? He said, let's go to that nice restaurant where you eat in the basement and the old ladies wait on you. It was the best restaurant. It was the best place where we were assembled together. They were my people. You would greet your cousin by calling them cousin, and you would embrace and you would squeeze. You would rejoice in seeing a brother and sister having arrived, and you would embrace and you would squeeze and you would play in the trees outside. They were my people. Here the Father speaks to the Son and he says, your people. Your people will volunteer freely in the day of your power. What is the work in being his people? 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. This is the work of you being made his people. His light shining within you. Acts 16:14 describes it this way. God opening your heart to receive the gospel. In John 17:24, Jesus is speaking and he speaks in this way. He talks about the people you have given me. His people. It's the place and the designation that you have been given. His people who volunteer freely in the day of his power. Now, where do we go? How do we live now being his people? Where there is this beautiful description of who we are and what we will be in verse 3. Your people will volunteer freely in the day of your power. Now listen to this description of you. In holy array, from the womb of the dawn, your youth are to you as the dew. This beautiful picture of being arrayed in holiness from the womb of the dawn, like the dew on the grass, is the picture we are given. I invite you to possibly the memory of clean clothes dried on the line. I had the blessing of a mother who couldn't sleep in the morning. And by the time I got up, she would have done 3 loads of laundry and have them hanging on the line. There were few greater joys than going to bed at night with my bed having been made, with my blankets and sheets having been washed and hung on the line to dry. There was that smell of freshness. It was a smell of peace. It was even a smell of love as a beautiful service had been done and given. Revelation 7:14 describes us even being arrayed in such a cleanness, arrayed in such an acceptance, arrayed in such a love. I said to him, my Lord, he asked who these were that were standing in heaven, who these were who were worshiping and praising God. And he said, my Lord, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You have been washed. You have been justified. You have been sanctified. You are being glorified. You have the smell of cleanliness, the smell of freedom, the smell of love. Your people will volunteer freely in the day of your power in holy array from the womb of the dawn. We look and we see that cleanliness and we move then to that beautiful light from the womb of the dawn. Isaiah 8:20 describes this rescue that we are brought into, the rescue that we live in, the rescue that is our voice and the light that is our voice. Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn. One of my great joys is when it happens on accident, really. I almost never do it on purpose. And I don't think I ever have actually done it on purpose. If I have to get in a long run and I don't have time in the day, and I have to get up before dawn, and I start running with a headlamp on the trails, one of the most beautiful events is running through dawn. Running in the dark, under the stars, through the trees, and then the sky starts to illuminate on one side, and the sun slowly starts to lift. And the beams of light coming through the trees and the darkness is chased away. And I can finally see clearly with a beautiful and peaceful light. Your people will volunteer freely in the day of your power in holy array from the womb of the dawn. And this dawn is us having been and being transferred or transitioned from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, in which we shine, in which we glorify the Father with our shining. Isaiah 9:2, moving on from Isaiah 8, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. Isaiah 9, and we continue on from there. How does this happen? For a child will be born to us. A son will be given. And the government will rest on his shoulders. His name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. We see the work God does in us. Galatians 1, 15 and 16. Paul describes his rescue and his salvation this way. God was pleased to reveal his Son in me. We come to this place of light that is so beautiful as we are his people. Again, 2 Corinthians 4, 6. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. We see his great work. We see what he does in us. This light that he brings, that he speaks into existence in his Son, Jesus Christ. We're brought to a place where we are that refreshing, where you are that refreshing. In that last section then, of verse 3. Your youth are to you as the dew. I don't know what the dew means to you right now. Maybe it just means wet socks, and that's not so pleasant to you. Well, the dew, as it is announced here and as it is shown here, it's the wetness, it's the watering of life on the land, even the watering of life that causes things to grow where we even have food. In Genesis 27, 28, when a blessing was being announced by Isaac, he says, now may God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and an abundance of grain and new wine. This idea of the dew being given is also demonstrated in Micah 5, and it rolls on to a prophecy about Christ. Micah 5, 2. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you, and here's Christ, one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. And then here we have, and the remnant of Jacob will be among many peoples, like dew from the Lord, like showers on vegetation, which do not wait for man or delay for the Son of Man. There you are. There you are. Brought from the place where you were not a people. But now you are the people of God. Jesus looks at you and he talks about you as my people, my children, my beloved ones. We look and we see Christ as he is, this rescuer who answers the enmity between us and God, this people who have been given a new heart. You are a people who have been given holy array from the womb of the dawn. Your youth are to Christ, and your power, your sanctification, is like the dew to him. Can you see yourself loved? Called
saved, justified, sanctified, washed. Can you see yourself received, held fast by a king who cannot be undone? Can you see yourself as that one that Christ has begun a good work in you and that he will bring it to completion? This is all a part of God's arrangement. His covenant. The deal that he has made. And you and I are blessed to be a part of it. I invite you to this place of rejoicing. To this place of faith. To a place of encouragement. To this place of acceptance, as we trust the word of Jehovah, we trust the word of our King, we trust our Lord Jesus Christ, who has done everything that we need for our salvation. Let's pray. Father, what is left for us? What is left for us to do but to worship you and to rejoice? We thank you for so great a salvation. We thank you for Christ Jesus. We thank you for the gift of faith. Please bless us as your people, as we cling to your covenant, as we cling to your gospel, as we glory in Christ Jesus. In his righteousness, and in his power, and in his love, that we will walk in accordance with love and light and truth for his name's sake. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.